Welcome to The Money Men. My name is Julian Valance, joined as always by Benny Clifton from the Sportsbet Trading Floor. How was the week, Benny?
Yeah, good week. I mean, the Spring Carnival just keeps rolling on. The Underwood Stakes was obviously a great race with Russian Camelot sort of stepping up to another level. And then we've got the Turnbull Stakes coming up this week, which is going to be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sydney Carnival sort of heating right up. It's sort of their derby day this week, obviously, with the Epsom and the Metrop and the flight for the three-year-olds. But let's crack on to Caulfield. We're going to just get the track conditions up on what we're racing on. Now, there's a bit in this, Benny, so bear with us a little bit here, punters. Out 6 metres in tyre, soft six, which we're going to speak about, and the wind 10 to 35 kilometre southwesterly, which obviously was across them in the straight and a little bit of a tailwind in that 1,000 to 1,200 metre shoot. How did you think the track played to begin with? And I'm just going to get on the conditions of the track because we had a deteriorating track with some rain throughout the day.
Well, they didn't want to go near the inside for one. That was probably the first point. Leaders were finding it hard, which was surprising because we did say they were going to have a little bit of assistance around the side there down in the shoot races. So that was a bit surprising. But yeah, all in all, it was pretty fair. But you did want a little bit of cover, I thought, at times. It seemed like horses who were strong at the finish were the horses that you know, were winning the races, obviously.
Yep. So Vince Arcardi sent through the times through from the meeting. So thanks again for that, Vince, from Daily Sectionals. We put them into our database. Now, the times are really important here, punters, because on your form guides coming out of this meeting next time, you will see just a soft six blanketed from races one to races nine. And it's just not the case. Now, to be honest, I think race one was probably a soft five, a dead in the old. Races two and three, I think, were on that soft five sort of motion. And then race four and five and six, I think we're getting onto a soft six. Seven, I think we're a soft seven. And then I think by races eight, and definitely by races at nine, Junipal, we were a heavy eight, Benny. So there's a bit to play out in that. There's a punting tip for the punters out there as well. Just with the 1,400-metre races, just be really careful reviewing this race because you've got race two, which, as I state, I think was in around that soft six, soft five range, and you're comparing that to, obviously, race seven, Instant Celebrities race. They're just different tracks, clearly deteriorated by race seven. So don't just clump them all together and go, well, race two was the fastest of the 1,400-metre races. That race must went really well. They were racing on a much superior track. So be really careful when you're reviewing this meeting because we were clearly getting onto softer conditions, and in the form guide, it's not going to help you out because it's just going to say a soft six. So just got to be careful there, don't they, Benny?
Yeah, for sure. And like Instant Celebrity ran really good time considering how wet the track was by that stage of the day.
Absolutely. Let's crack on. Race one, it was out of the chute. Equal to standard time here, but they didn't go very quick at all. 23.24 last 400, 11.98 last 200, which was the best last 400 and best last 200 of the day. Now, yes, they were only going out at a slow tempo, but also the fact that this was the best part of the track at the best conditions throughout the day, so hence why they've come home best last 400, last 200. But as a race overall, Benny, do you want to take anything out of it?
Well, it was all honours with the win opinion. I think it was back in the field on a slow tempo and still went straight past them. I think the good thing they did with Pinion was take it back in class, get its confidence up, work it back up into this class. And I think they've realised that it's probably a 1,000-metre, 1,100-metre horse. They've tried to extend it to 1,300, 1,400 metres. I think keeping it to that short course really allows it to use its turn of foot. And most importantly, they've put a decent jockey on. They've had a lot of apprentices on this horse, and it does seem like a horse who takes a little bit of riding. So Craig Williams, that was a really good ride on Pinion, I thought.
Race shape was key for it as well because it has got that turn of foot, as you mentioned, to be able to zip home last 400, last 200. So anytime you see Pinion, you want to be seeing it in a soft tempo race. Don't worry about that it gets back. It doesn't matter. There's only three or four lengths covering them. It's got the best turn of foot. In terms of a market, Miss Ayano, $18 into $10, few fell into it. Plus jockey, probably the key there. Mark Zara did have wet figures, but probably wasn't as wet as it would like. Way Up in the Sky, $10 into $7.56. Highway Mantic was the horse from a market perspective that was really interesting, Benny. $2.80 out to $4. Run second, bigger the exchange, probably $4.50 plus. And Pinion, $7.50 into $6.50, bit of support. Highway Mantic, I think they were just probably potting that last effort win at Moonee Valley, you think?
Yeah, I took a nice little under on Highway Mantic there. Originally, when it won that race at Moonee Valley, I thought, I don't want to be with that horse going forward. But then no other leader won on the day, so I thought it added merit. But it's just got no dynamism about it, this prep. It's sort of one batting. I reckon that you might give it one more chance if they put a senior jockey on. He's really struggling a bit at the moment, Lachie Neuendorf. And I thought Algodon Miss was probably a pass mark first up off a long break. Looked the winner, but conditions seemed to give out, so maybe it'll be fitter next start in a similar grade.
Yeah, what you can say about how Omantic is it's brave. It continually runs an honest race, and that's what you want out of your racehorse that sits on speed. It's going to win plenty of races, but you don't want to be going up too high. Race two here, very fast run race here, but still a third of a second outside standard time, which worries me, Benny, going forward. 24.22 last 400, last 200, 12.36. It was the fastest of the four, 1,400 metres, as I say, but this was on a soft five compared to a few of these other ones at 1,400 metres being on a soft seven or worse. The winner is Rich Hips. Key factor here being, it was the fit horse on the scene, and it was fifth up, and it was a few against a few of these ones that were first up. And that's sort of how it played out, I thought.
I don't think we should waste too much time on this race, personally, but I thought the run of the race was easy beast. Yeah. Sat outside the lead on a hot tempo and kept kicking it, and I think that goes to show how low a quality of race it was. And I thought Power Scheme probably did enough if it's going up in distance, but all in all, it's not a race for mine. And Grand DeFlora got back and ran on all right, but that was a bit disappointing for mine.
Yep, we'll move on. We'll crack straight on to race three. Benny, you've knocked that on the head very quickly. Fast run race here again, this time half a second inside standard time, which is a positive. Very slow last 400, last 200, 25.36, 13.12, as you can see, identified in the red. But because they went out so quickly, you thought they were going to obviously compound, and it obviously was over a staying trip. Well, we black booked this horse a couple of weeks ago, Saracen Knight. You black booked Grand Promenade the same day. It ran on the week during the week and ran well. It's a nice import, I think, this Saracen Knight.
I love this horse. I mean, you mentioned that slow last section for the overall race. It still ran home in 12.32 the last 200, which is pretty good going. Was held up early in the straight and struggled to get to the right part of the track, but once it did, it really motored, and it's going to be better over 2,500 metres. This is a serious horse, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the market, we talk about whether they knew or they didn't know, whether they knew with Saracen Knight, $12 into $7, so they trusted that first up performance. Le Bayal, which was the favourite, $2.20 out to $2.80, just got a little bit soft late, ended up becoming lame, so we don't really get any guide on that horse. I think you can still follow it at some stage, but they may have to go back to the drawing board for it. Outside of that, Wycliffe was another horse that was an import. Time form 108, stacks up really well, was 12 into $8.50, so maybe there's a run in it at some stage. But Saracen Knight, be interesting to see where they go. Maybe they go to, say, a race like the old Saab or the new Hotham or whatever it's called, and they could get a sneaky hope in a Melbourne Cup.
Oh, for sure, I think. And just that last 200 metres, that's what I loved about it. And the camp, Danny O'Brien, absolutely flying at the moment. Love what he's doing with his stayers, and definitely a horse to follow for mine. Just on the favourite, LeBow, it'll be hard to resurrect a campaign after that, so maybe go for a spell and come back and try again.
Yep. Race four, very slowly run race here. A third of a second outside standard time, Benny. 23.62, 12.18, last 400, last 200 respectively, which was okay compared to the rest of the day. And look, this race got decimated with the scratchings, obviously, of Alpha Oro and Brooklyn Hustle. Coruscate was first up, did have big wet figures, I think, at Randwick. And it obviously came here to play because market wanted to be with it. $4.80 into $3.70, solid push. Order of Command was the other one that was pushed, $3.30 into $2.90. Both those horses were first up. And Runson was the drifter, $3.40 out to $5.50. What do you make of the race?
Well, it's not a race I want to follow. I thought they picked the right race with Coruscate. Its best performance as a first up, so well placed there. And it was never going to lose in the run. It was really strong through the line. But it's hard to make a case for any of these horses going forward because it's only going to get harder in the next 6 weeks and there's going to be nowhere to hide.
Yeah, great placement, but I think it's going to struggle, absolutely. As a race overall, didn't rate very well with us. I totally agree. Race five, 1,400-metre race here, and it ended up being Buffalo River versus Windstorm. It was a slowly run race, 0.2 of a second outside standard time, last 400, 23.70, last 200, 12.06, which was very good. He probably let punters down the previous start, us included, but he was going 11 to 1,400 metres. We spoke about the fact that it was a fast run race he was coming out of when he got beaten by Travi, my friend, and that really just topped him off beautifully, and he just had the wood over Buffalo River, who was first up and was very, very game.
Wasn't it a great betting race? Like, when I did the form on this race, I marked Windstorm $2.20 and Buffalo River $5, which was completely wrong. I wasn't giving Buffalo River enough credit for what it had done last campaign, and it's obviously a really good good horse. It had to do a little bit of work early, but they didn't go that hard.
Yeah.
It was hard to lead on the day, so I think it was a pass mark for Buffalo River, and I think it can find a race over the Flemington Carnival where it'll be competitive in a harder class. But the thing about Windstorm, it, as you mentioned, had that platform third up, and you know, by this stage of the day, the track was deteriorating. I think that really held it in good stead to get over the top of Buffalo River late.
Yeah, the other horse I just want to mention in terms of the market was Adelaide Ace, 11 into 9.50. Don't know where they go with this horse. Bit worried about it.
No.
Oh,
I thought it was a pass mark. It was in the worst part of the track. And
yep, not
they stayed at 1,400 metres, which I didn't understand. So it's one of my horses to follow. I think they find a 1,700 metre, 1,800 metre race a little bit close to the speed, I think it can run well.
Good shout for the punters out there, Benny. We'll be back after the break, including the Underwood Stakes. Back with the money men. We're going to get into the Guineas Preludes. We start with the boys. It was race 6. Obviously, this track was deteriorating. Don't worry about being soft 6. It was worse than that by this stage, so just be careful of that going forward, punters. But slowly run race here, 24-10, 12-4-6. Only fair home as well off a half a second inside standard time. So it was okay off the moderate tempo. I will say the first 800 metres was 1 second slower than the girls. The last 400 came home 0.6 of a second quicker than the girls, but they needed to give them any hope, obviously, going forward to a Caulfield Guineas because it was pretty slowly run.
Yeah, I went into this race thinking whoever wins this is going to propel themselves into Caulfield Cup, you know, favouritism and the Guineas. Winner, but Caulfield Guineas, sorry. But I'm not convinced about this race now. I thought there were some really ordinary runs in regards to the favourite, the winner, Crosshaven. Obviously a good effort, but the race shape did suit it. I worry about the camp producing it to peak on grand final day in a couple of weeks because they're a trained by numbers camp. They win at 10 or 11%, you know, and they've got a lot of horses. They win a lot of races, but at an ordinary strike rate, when you compare them to Hawks, we saw what they did in the Golden Rose. They peaked two colts at the right time to produce their, you know, career peak on grand final day. I'm not convinced the Hayes Dabney camp can do this with Crosshaven, and I'm looking elsewhere in the Caulfield Guineas, but you know, take nothing away from it. It was a good win here, but I don't think that it can peak again next time.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job with Crosshaven. I will say that. Now, in terms of the market perspective, Prague, $7.50 into $6, ended up with colic, so we don't know where it goes. Savannah Cloud was the horse that the market found, $8.50 into $5.50 off that maiden win on the wet track. Seventh. Camborne, 6 out to 9, back into 8, was in the different suburb, came on following on, but we're not too wrapped on the race, so we don't know if it can be a player. Amish Boy, $9.50 into $6.50. It just keeps producing and being really honest. It finishes second. Flying Award, $4.20 into $3.80, and then punters finally realise cottoned on. It drifts back out to $4.60, but obviously an excuse there, so we're not going to beat our own chests about that. But Crossroads for Flying Award. I'm a bit with you. Crosshaven plays himself into the race a little bit because he's got the right race shape and he puts himself on speed. But as a race, going to the Caulfield Guineas, huge worries. I don't think it's going to be the form line.
Well, it's interesting who's going to go there now. Like Moanga's going, Damien Oliver have been booked. So horses like that from Sydney, I just think they might have a length or two on the Melbourne ones. And yeah, Crosshaven, he's obviously going to be the best Melbourne horse going.
It's a good point you bring up because we're going to talk about Moanga, and obviously we're going to do a couple of things on socials with the Golden Rose and also the Stud Stakes. But we'll just quickly talk about that because we've got it right here. We'll start with the Stud Stakes on Friday night, just with Glenn Fittick. He puts himself right in the spot. I've nearly got him as just the number one seed because I thought that was a brilliant performance. He's airborne at Moody's, big change of camp, sits on speed, and the times and stuff, which will go through social punters, was outstanding, I thought.
Well, if you're looking at an early speed map for a Caulfield Guineas, Glenn Fittick's probably the leader and Crosshaven's probably sitting outside it, and you want to be with Glenn Fittick.
Yep, so from the Victorians, we're with those sort of Stud Stakes horses instead of the Caulfield Guineas, that's what we're saying. And the two Sydney colts, obviously, after the Golden Rose will be mighty hard to beat. And then the X factor is Moanga, who blitzed the clock last week as well. So there's a bit to play out. It's going to be a ripping Caulfield Guineas. Race 7 was for the girls. Third of a second quicker than the boys, so that's a positive sign. 3/4 of a second inside standard time here, Benny. 24.70, 12.64, which is only average for the day. But they did work pretty hard early. And Instant Celebrity brought that Adelaide form. Craig Williams went on. He didn't give her an easy ride. He needed her to do some things that I think he said after post-race that not many horses can do. He wanted to push her up at a stage at probably the 600 just to get her moving into the race, into a position to strike. And she didn't let him down. She looks a horse with plenty of ability.
Oh, she's a star, and I think you're right. He did ride it a little bit dirty. He could have waited a lot longer than he waited and really got there later and run one running away, but sort of got there a bit early and the run sort of ended probably 100 out, but it was way too good. I think in the 1,000 guineas you'll see a more prettier ride where he's trying to time the run a bit more to get the best out of her, but I think that was a really good stepping stone in the 1,000 guineas. I think she'll be very hard to beat. She's a genuine Group 1 star, I think.
You think her peak now will be able to – she should have – yes, some could say, oh, she was, well, how was she on the line? Just remember, she was 11 to 1400 metres here. Now she comes out of that fast race, 1400 metres. We saw it with Windstorm just, you know, obviously at race five. That's a similar sort of prep that Instant Celebrity's got here. You'd think she'll now peak and probably run a monster figure on 1,000 guineas day.
Yeah, it's hard to make that early run on that hard tempo, and she did it, and that was fantastic. It should be very hard to beat.
Market perspective, Mozzie Monster really well supported, $8 into $4.40, especially late. Finishes eighth, supposedly going for a spell. Don't need to worry about her this prep. And Night Raid, $4.40 into $3.80 late. She was just the map horse. They're always going to be with her. They know she's consistent, but we've found that Instant Celebrity has got her covered.
Yeah, Night Raid might not get a mile next time, so I'm not sure where they go with her. It didn't favour leaders on the day either, so yeah, Night Raid, I'm not sure what to do with
it. Yeah, I mean, she puts herself in the position where she's going to be on speed again. She can get a 1-1 sort of position. She's going to run really well, but if Instant Celebrity can get her back and doesn't have to be, you know, pushed too hard and get a soft run, oh, I think she'll absolutely light up the track in 2 weeks' time. That's the, I think, progression she can make off a run like that. I think she'll learn a lot from it.
Yeah, for sure. And probably of the Beaton Brigade, there's not a lot there, I don't think. And I don't know if there's any left field going towards the 1,000 guineas that we have to worry about. But, yeah, I think she's a worthy favourite in that.
Yep, absolutely. Race 8 was the big one. Wait for Age, Underwood Stakes, over 1,800 metres. 1 second inside standard time here, Benny. Now, only moderate tempo, 24.08, 12.30. Home. Now, if you put that just in general of the whole day, you go, well, they've only come home fairly. Remember here, punters, we think we're probably genuine soft seven, bordering on heavy eight. This was a huge performance from Russian Camelot, and the market didn't miss him.
Nah, for sure. We were talking two weeks ago about this horse, thinking this is a genuine Melbourne Cup horse. Where do you sit with it after this run?
Because he's a genuine in 12 months' time, arc horse. That's where I see with him now. I think he's – the fact that Ollie decided to ride – positive, which I think was a surprise. I definitely didn't map him there. That's why I thought Arcadia Queen might have the map advantage over her. Once Ollie rolled forward, the $1.95 into $1.55, which was a massive go in a Group 1 race like that, the $1.55 was a spoil.
Yeah.
Like...
But he did. He rode it a little dirty because he had to, because he could have gone back to last and maybe still won the race, but he made a good thing of it. And I reckon they, with this racing pattern they're trying out, they're probably preparing it for the Cox Plate, where it has to be a little bit versatile. You know, and we know at Moonee Valley it's an advantage to be closer to the speed. So I think they're just trying things out early in the prep, so when they get to grand final day, he's ready to go. And, you know, I think the Cox Plate, I don't know where – I thought the Melbourne Cup was the main aim. I'm leaning towards the Cox Plate as being the main aim now, because it's hard to win both, but I think he's going the right way towards it.
Yeah, he's just a serious racehorse. And just the tip out there for the punters, when you're looking at Russian Camelot again going forward, the market, and this is, don't worry about the results and don't worry about our opinion, this is the market's opinion. The market has this on a soft track, and I speak on a soft track because I don't know if they've got him there on a firm track, a world-class galloper. And when I say that, I mean a wait-for-age type of horse that could go over and win an arc or be very competitive in arc. And we know, obviously, the European horses at this distance are superior to our horses here. We know he's a Northern Hemisphere three-year-old, so he is originally from there. But that's what the market's got him at. You're not going to get any spoil about this horse anymore, especially on a soft track. You might get it back on a firm track when we see him, but on a soft track, the market is just absolutely having to a huge level, a massive figure that he hasn't done yet, but they're getting him there.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, the market's got it as a world-class galloper. Do you have it as a world-class galloper?
No, not at this stage. The figures he's doing are not there. They're just point-blankly what I do with the bonusing and all that sort of stuff, don't have him there. But he's looks like he's going to get there eventually.
And you look at the horses that beat, it puts a little bit of a pox on the race for mine. Humidor, obviously.
He's come back. He's going really well.
Yeah. That was a better run. I think that was a better run than Moonee Valley.
Yes.
Arcadia Queen, back to the inside. I think she's better placed in mare's company now. I think she can maybe get away with a Meyer if she gets the right run, but I think we can forget about her as a genuine Group 1 weight for age middle distance horse.
Yeah, I think if we're ever trying to get her back to that Kingston Town form as a three-year-old, it's just never going to happen again. And I think the market's probably just about to cotton on. Like, it's started to cotton onto that now with Arcadia Queen, especially if she continues to come up against Russian Camelot. You know, you can see the difference there, $155 versus $5.50. It's not going to tighten up, that's for sure. Last race of the day. Very fast run race here, Benny. 0.2 of a second inside standard time. 25.3, 12.98. So again, you look at the last 400, last 200, and you put it as a whole and you go, compare it to the rest of the game, go, oh, pretty ordinary. But remember, I think we're just about on a heavy eight here, punters. And Junipal, he is one heck of a horse, but he's also one heck of a wet tracker, I think, Junipal.
Yeah, I was sort of, when I did the form on Wednesday for this race, I was sort of worried about that gate. I thought he'd get caught wide, but in the end, that was where he wanted to be, and he won running away. I was tipping a horse, Widgie Turf, to you on Saturday. I thought he went okay again. I think all three runs this campaign, he's had excuses. I think he's still going well enough to win a race in the next few weeks.
He might be. He's got beaten by eight there, so I can probably counter-argument that a little bit. Shot of Irish, 8 into 480. Marcotte, who wants to be with it, finally got a round run second. It's racing it. Nonconformist was off that 28 days, 340. Marcotte still wanted to be with it. Pretty solid at that $3.50. Don't know where they go now. Just not right race shape in terms of a fast run race off that break. Really wet track. Just wasn't going to work out for him. Junipal, 390 out to $4. $4.80 back into 420. Market wanted to be with him late. Tip here for the punters is, with these 1400 metre plus races, you want hard fit horses. We saw it all day. We saw it with Junipal versus Nonconformist, fit horse. Windstorm versus Buffalo River, fit horse. Rich Hips versus the Grand de Flores, Duke of Plumptons, Rainbow Thieves, fit horse. They all win. Got to bear with them, especially on soft tracks.
Where does Junipal go now?
Goes to the Toorak and is a major player. If there's any rain, he's going to be right in this race. The key for Junipal is to try and get into the race. His rating possibly gets him there. It's going to be touch and go if he's in it. If he gets in it, he is a live winning chance. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure. Back with Money Man. We are dissecting, obviously, Caulfield Underwood Stakes Day. Trash and Treasure. I'm starting with the Treasure here. Masked Crusader was third up. Yes, got to 1,400 metres, but very plain for Masked Crusader for me.
Yeah, race six is a guide to the Caulfield Guineas for me. I made my point. I don't think that is the right form line now. I think either the Stud Stakes or the Sydney horses are going to win the Caulfield Guineas.
Yeah, speaking of the Stud Stakes, Glenn Fiddick, I've put him into the Treasure. Does all the things we want from our high percentage play. Sits on speed. He's just come back a better horse. He was great in the Memsey. Fantastic again in the Stud. He's going to be mighty hard to beat in the Caulfield Guineas, I think.
Yeah, and Saracen Knight. We talked about it at length. I think this is a serious stay. Obviously, no luck first up. Got back in this race. Came home really well. The race came home really slow, but he still ran home in 12.32, which is pretty solid at the end of the 2,000. He will eat up 2,500 metres and could come into Melbourne Cup calculations later in the spring, I think.
Well, the key with him is just winning, a Bendigo Cup won't get him into the race, or a Geelong Cup won't get him into the Melbourne Cup. He probably has to win an exempt race, which means he probably has to win that race on Derby Day to get in where you become exempt. So that might be the time where you see Saracen Knight. And we've seen so many times in the past, you win that race, you start single fingers in the Melbourne Cup. I think he's $34, $41 in the Melbourne Cup. Might be worth having a play if you think he's going to win the Hotham, that's for sure.
And he would have no weight at all.
Yeah, and that's the key. So he's going to have 50. So it's a winnable weight. If you can come out and win that race, you're right in the race, and he's trained by an absolute superstar in Danny O'Brien. We'll be back next week. It's Turnbull Stakes Day, and the track's going to be firm. Good luck. We'll see you then.